Maybe you'd like to pick up a Bible. We're looking at Matthew 16 this morning. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. So the first book of your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about heroes. Well, we've put the word super in front of it, really. And we've been talking about that. And we've said this. We've said, what is a hero? A hero saves the day. That in some shape or form, a hero saves the day. And we've been exploring how we can be more heroic in our life and in our faith, haven't we? And it's been challenging because I ask myself, I end up with this question, basically, and it's a really uncomfortable question. So I thought, why should I be uncomfortable on my own? So I'm going to ask you it as well, because this will have cropped it up in your head. You ready? You're not going to like this. Here we go. Here's the question. What was the last heroic thing I did? Oh, Lord, did you have to ask that question? Sorry about that. That's the question that is bubbling around in my head. And I can think of some things. I often think of things that happened a while ago. But if I start to ask the question, what's the last heroic thing I did recently? It gets a bit more challenging for me. And I don't know if you feel like that. You think, well, have I done anything heroic this week? Maybe not. Ever. Whatever, yeah, that's the question. It's an uncomfortable question. And some of you have some heroic stories. I know some of your stories, and I know some of you have made some very significant decisions, some heroic choices and decisions in your past, and been through all sorts of things. And some of you have. And the fact that you're still, you know, sane, well, reasonably, and that you're here, and that, you know, is a miracle. But it also, I think it says something about you, that you are pretty super, that you can be a hero, that you can save the day. You can save your own day and other people's. I know some of your stories. Maybe it's a story about work or about school life, or maybe you tried to set up your parents' Wi-Fi. That's always quite a heroic thing to do. Seriously, that's the most heroic. It takes a brave person to try that. So, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's something you've done. Maybe our difficulty with this question, I think I know why you're struggling with this one. What's the last heroic thing I did? Don't ask me that. Here's why we struggle with that, and we think a hero saves the day in a really big way. So when I say, what have you done heroic, you're thinking something big, something grand, something massive, like, I don't know, Martin Luther King, you know, and we think about him fostering civil rights in a whole nation of hundreds of millions of people, and we think, oh yeah, I've never done anything like that, so I certainly haven't done that this week. Since Monday, maybe, well, you know, maybe last week, but not this week. I haven't done that. And we think big, don't we? Heroic, that means big. And we think of people like this, Mother Teresa, who spent her life in Calcutta, living amongst the poor, holding and literally hugging and caressing the poor and being with them in their poverty and choosing their life, a poor life, in order to share the love of God. We think of heroes like that. And we think of very big things that they've done. Maybe you think of someone like this, Nelson Mandela. 20 years spent in prison, holding on to what he believed was right and good and just, and an unwavering commitment to that, even in old age, to spend the last days of his life trying to help that dream come true. We think big. When I talk to you about being heroic, you think big. And so do I. And that's why I struggle with it. That's why I think, what have I done? What have I done? But when you think of hero, you often disqualify yourself. But there are heroes that you've actually met that maybe can help you with this. I think of heroes, but I also think of people who've never been in the news, who've never been in history books, and who will never be. But they are heroes to me, and they're ordinary people I've met that have done quite heroic things. So I think of a guy called Alan who works tirelessly amongst the poor in Bristol, and who himself, having overcome addiction in his own life, is now spending his life for the benefit of so many people who, realistically, I'd struggle to help, but he knows them because he's been there. And I think of Alan, or maybe I think of Chris. And I think of Chris, who was a teacher and an English teacher for 25 years. Most of the people in town he taught, and then he left his job. He left what could have been an even bigger pension, and he could have just hung on for another 10 years, but he decided, no, that's not what I want to do. That's not what God wants me to do. So he quit his job, sacrificed some of his future income, and worked to help people who are on the margins, even taking some of them into his own home and giving them a home as a single guy, being able to do that. An amazing story. And I think of heroes. I think not only the big, you know, the headline-grabbing heroes, but I think of those people as well. So this question, probably what is the last heroic thing you ever did? It's probably not that helpful because you're thinking big and you're thinking in those terms. So I'm going to ask you another question, which I think is a better one and might help you a little bit more. It might help you define what to be heroic is. Here's the question. What was the last heroic thing someone did for you? What was the last heroic thing someone did for you? Who was the last person to be a hero for you and why? And now you're not thinking Mother Teresa or Nelson Mandela, are you? You're thinking of an ordinary person who did something that meant something to you. And it could be quite small, not big. Someone could be a hero because they invested in us when they didn't have to. It's what we're going to be celebrating in a couple of weeks' time at Harvest, how you invested in other people. And you may not know it, but you are probably heroes to those people. You never thought of that, did you? You might be their hero because you spent time and believed in them and helped them and made it possible for them to do something. Maybe someone who gave us time when it was inconvenient. Maybe that's a hero for you. Someone who, you know what, they were busy and are running around and they said, no, but I'll help you. You need help. That's pretty heroic. Maybe someone who met an ordinary need when we couldn't. A simple thing. We didn't have what we needed. We didn't have the ability. And someone stepped in and said, but I can help you with that. I can do that for you. Maybe it was a friend who stuck with you when everybody else drifted away. Maybe you went through a difficult time and all they did was kept in touch, kept visiting, kept phoning, kept checking on you, and that's all they did. But they're a bit of a hero to you because they stuck with you and were always there. Maybe a spouse who prioritized your career and your goals and your training and put their own plans on hold so that you could do what you are now doing. Maybe a family member who forgave you and who forgave you again and again and again. And even though you weren't changing, even though you were carrying on in behavior that wasn't helping and was damaging that relationship, they just kept forgiving you. Sounds pretty heroic to me. It may never make the history books, but it was pretty heroic. And what you discover as you think about being heroic and who was heroic to me, there's a common factor. Every time there is a common factor for those people and for us. Because for me, a common factor is those people gave something up for me. That's why I think of them slightly heroically. They gave something up for me. Their time, their energy, their plans, maybe their rights, and they gave it up for me. What does it take to be a hero? Maybe it takes sacrifice. Maybe that's what it means. Heroes sacrifice their life a part of their life, some of their life, but they sacrifice something for your life. That's what makes people a hero. And that's what makes people a hero to you. Think about it. The people you admire and the people, whether in the media or in the history books or the people that you know who have helped you, they have sacrificed. And that's why you look at them differently. It's what all heroes do. Heroes always sacrifice. Now, we're not really convinced we want to be a hero, are we? Because I don't know about you, but that word sacrifice slightly scares me. But the only way to be a hero is to give something up from your life in order to benefit somebody else's life. That's the only way someone is a hero. And we all know what sacrifice is. It's when we give something up, lay something down, let something die now in our own life so that something can live later for somebody else. A hero sees possibly your future. And that's what, you know, it's what parents do all the time, isn't it? They do all this stuff because they want you to grow, they want their kids to grow, and they're sacrificing now, giving up things now, spending time and energy now on someone else, on their children. And they're doing it, why? Because they want them to grow into the person that they know these people can be. So we give something up now in order to create a new future for someone else. That's what we do, and we sacrifice in order to do it. If you think of the people that have done that for you, that's powerful, isn't it? Jesus agrees with this definition, by the way. He says this, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. There's nothing better, he says. There is nothing better, and you know this is true, because you've experienced this. There's nothing better, no greater love than when someone looks at you and looks at your potential and your future and is willing to sacrifice something of theirs to bring that into fruition. That is amazing when someone does that for you. That moves us when someone does that for us. We actually love sacrifice. When we see someone sacrifice something for us, it really is a powerful thing. And we're moved by it. It's beautiful and it's powerful when someone treats you like that. We're moved. I mean, you go to movies and you cry about this. You go to a movie and you see someone do this stuff, sacrifice on behalf of someone else, and by the end you're on the Kleenex, aren't you? Because you think, that's powerful stuff. Wow, they're a hero. They sacrificed. We love sacrifice. But let me put a little but in there. We love sacrifice so long as it's someone else doing it. And I think if we're honest, that's the truth. We are moved by the beauty of sacrifice, but we are praying quietly in the background, Lord, let it not be me who has to do it. That's the truth. As a human being, I confess that's true of me. Let someone else sacrifice. I think it's amazing and wonderful and powerful, but please let someone else do it. Don't let me do it. I think that's human. We love to see other people say no to themselves to give things up as long as I don't have to do it myself. We hate to deny ourselves anything, don't we? Do you like denying yourself stuff? I don't. None of us do. What's the worst thing we can tell ourselves? You know the worst thing we can tell ourselves? No. But I want no. None of us likes to sacrifice. It is incredibly hard to do. And right now, however, that's a challenge, isn't it? Because there are things in our lives that need saving, and the only way you save something is to sacrifice in order to do it. That's how a hero works. Heroes always sacrifice. A hero saves stuff, and they do it through sacrifice every time. Every time. It's like some universal law. And there are things in my life that need saving. But we don't want to sacrifice to save them. That's the challenge we face. Maybe our health. Let's go through some of them. Health, that's an obvious one, isn't it? Some of us get out of breath texting, don't we? You know, oh, that was hard work. I'm going to have a rest now. Maybe a cake. I need a cake. And we get out of breath texting. And we know, in order to save this situation, I'm going to have to sacrifice something. My time, my energy, I'm going to have to get off my rear end, off the sofa, I'm going to have to exercise, I'm going to have to do something, I'm going to have to eat properly, I'm going to have to... But will we do it? You want to save something, your health, you're going to have to sacrifice something. It's a fact. No way around it. Finances, what about debt? You know, if you're in debt... You want to save your finances, you are going to have to sacrifice your spending habits. You're going to have to sacrifice that next thing from Amazon Prime that you want delivered the next day. And you're going to have to say no to it if you're going to deal with a debt. Or you're going to have to scale all your spending back and pay off your debt. You know, that's the reality. If you want to save something, you're going to have to sacrifice in order to do it. You know, this is true. This is how it works. Your future. Maybe there's a relationship that we need to let go of because it's holding us back and it's stopping us being the person God wants us to be. And it's getting in the way of that. And sometimes we have to step back from a relationship that is toxic, maybe. And we have to say, I'm going to have to do that. We have to sacrifice. Maybe it's a relationship you need to keep or restore. And you know what? You're going to have to sacrifice your pride and pick up the phone and say, I'm sorry, or can we talk, or I'm going to make the first move, but I'm going to be the bigger person here. I'm going to sacrifice my pride and my status and my rights, even though somebody else did something wrong. If you want to restore a relationship, let alone move away from one, you're going to have to sacrifice to do it. And interestingly, we're going to be talking about some of these things in this campaign because, quite frankly, we're talking about transforming your health and your emotional life and your spiritual life and your financial life and your vocational life. And guess what? You're going to have to sacrifice something if you're going to receive those things. We're going to be talking about that for 7 weeks in October. We live in this tension between what we believe and what we do, don't we? We know the power and beauty of sacrifice, but we lack the desire to apply it to our own lives. We want somebody else to do it. We think it's wonderful when they do it. We cry about it when we see it. But when it comes to saving stuff in my life, I'm a little more reluctant to apply that sacrifice. And into this tension steps Jesus, as he always does, because he knows how you and I work. And in Matthew 16, here's what he says. Listen to this. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Jesus is saying the only way you will save something, i.e. your life, or a part of your life, or an aspect of your life, your health, your finance, anything. If you want to save a part of your life or your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give it up, if you sacrifice, you will save it. Jesus is saying the same thing. The only way you will save your life is if you're willing to give it up, to sacrifice it. Now, that makes no sense. But we all know that's how it works, because to save something always involves sacrifice. Statement appears in a conversation with his disciples, and just before this conversation, he asked them, he said this question. He said, who do you think I am? He got them all alone together, just his friends, his closest disciples. He said, who do you say I am? Because there have been lots of rumours around, and they came up with all sorts of answers. But Peter comes up with the right one. He says, we think you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, you're dead right. I am. I'm the hero you've been waiting for. I'm about to build a kingdom that all the powers of hell cannot overcome. We will storm the very gates of hell with this kingdom, and you and I are going to do it together. Nothing will stop it. And it's a bit like a halftime FA Cup locker room speech. It's like, here we go, boys and on this rock I will build my church. And they're off. And they're all excited and pumped up. Let's do this. And then he says this, which is what you should never say at halftime in a locker room. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the leading priests and teachers of religious law. He would be killed. Hang on. We're going to build the church. We're going to move the world. We're going to build a kingdom. We're going to, the gates of hell will not. What the heck? What's this? He would be killed. On the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. What? The worst locker room speech in history. You don't do this in the locker room. This makes no sense. You've come to save the day, Jesus. You're our hero. We're going to build the kingdom. And now you say you're going to die in order to do it. That's interesting, isn't it? That something has to be sacrificed for this kingdom to get built. Heroes win by winning, don't they, Jesus? Don't they just win? They don't die. And that's why in the Gospels, I think, consistently you read Jesus dropping in comments like this. I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be dead for 3 days. And you know what? It goes right over their heads because they can't equate the two. Number of times he makes these statements and they just don't get it. But this time when he says it, Peter's sort of had enough because he doesn't understand this principle. For something to live, something has to be sacrificed. If you want to save something, something has to be sacrificed. He doesn't understand this. So this time he's had enough of it and Peter has a go at Jesus. It's quite fun. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him, saying, "Heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you." Peter's response exposes his belief. And I think it's a belief not only that he has, but that I have and that you have when it comes to being a hero and saving the day. Here's what he believes. Here's what we all believe. There has to be another way. That doesn't include sacrifice. There has to be a way. If I want to save something, if I want to bring life to something, there has to be a way I can do that without it costing me anything. And Peter believes that's true, that there is another way of doing this, that there is an easier way to save stuff. Whenever something needs saving, sacrifice might be involved, we believe, but I think there may be another way of doing it. It happens in the GP surgery every week. You see it, don't you? I remember watching a documentary called The Doctor Who Gave Up Drugs. And he tried to stop the overprescription of medication to patients in an ordinary GP surgery. And he was a GP. So he went in and he said, "What are you giving to your patients?" Well, they come in and they say their blood pressure is too high, so we give them a pill. And the GP asked a question. He said, "Have you ever considered advising them to change their diet and their exercise to lower their blood pressure?" And the GP said, "Well, we've got about 2 minutes with each client, and we don't have a lot of time to work through that, and they want a quick fix. They just want something they can take and do it, and it's sorted the easier way." And it happens every day in all sorts of millions of ways. We believe there's an easy way to save something. It's how we operate in life. We want the easy way. We want a tablet rather than the discipline of having to get out, take that walk, change that diet, do all that, which will have exactly the same effect and longer term better effects. But we want the tablet because it's easier. Now that's not decrying medication, trust me. Some medication you have to be on, and I am on some, and that's because of stuff that no amount of exercise would change. But that's the point. If there's an easier way, we're looking for it. We want a relationship with our kids and our grandkids, but we don't want to stop all the holidays abroad. You want to save something, you have to give something up. We don't want to turn away from the screen, so we introduce them to various other screens so they can look at their screens and we can look at our screens and, you know, we can still have some sort of relationship. We do all that, so we want the easier way. So what do? Well, maybe we buy them stuff. Maybe we sign them up for activities galore. Maybe we're running around like some headless taxi service every day of the week. Maybe what they need is to be with us more. But that's going to cost me to do that. More time than it takes to drop off and pick up, certainly. We want to save our marriage. Let's have another kid. That's an easy... quite frankly, I don't think it is. But so you've heard that one, haven't you? We'll save our marriage. There must be an easy way. We'll have another kid. That'll sort it out. Bad idea. Haven't talked in 2 years, but this Valentine, I'm going out all out. I've booked the restaurant. I've, you know, bought her a massive present. But we haven't talked for 2 years. But just on Valentine's night, I'm going to throw the book at it. Is that going to work? Well, it's an easier way of trying it, but it doesn't work. We're always looking for a quick fix. We don't want to sacrifice. There has to be a better, an easier way for me to save something. Jesus' response is very, very, very strong. Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Get away from me, Satan." That's pretty strong. Jesus, there has to be an easier way of saving stuff. Get away from me, Satan. You know what Satan means? Liar. Deceiver. Get away from me. Take this deception and this lies away from me. I'm sick of it, says Jesus. It doesn't work. I'm not buying it. Even though you want it, Peter, I'm not buying it. "You're a dangerous trap to me," says Jesus, because you know what? Jesus was a human. He was fully human. Did it ever occur to Jesus there might be another way? You remember when he prayed in Gethsemane? You remember the night before he was crucified? What did he say? "Father, if it's possible, let there be another way." He didn't want to do it. You think Jesus strolled to the cross going, "Way, here we go, way." There's something in us human beings that doesn't want to sacrifice. And Jesus was human as well as God. And he said, "Father, if there's any other way of doing this, can we do that instead?" He's completely human. And he's mad at Peter, who is provoking him to take the softer option, to take the way that won't work, that never works. And he calls him Satan and deceiver because it is a lie to think we can save anything without sacrificing something ourselves. It's a lie to believe that can happen. The human standpoint, he says, you're talking from a human point of view. You know what the human point of view is? The human point of view is we want what we want now. And we're willing to sacrifice our future for it. That's our human point of view. Just don't ask me to have to give anything up now for the sake of the future. And Jesus is exactly the opposite of that, isn't he? Jesus gives up now for the sake of our future. He works exactly the opposite way, even though he's tempted not to, like you and I. But human concern is always to sacrifice what we really want. The important things in life, we're going to sacrifice those for what we want right now. And that's true. We really want life and healthy relationships and no regret and significance, but what we focus on is what we want right now. And when we focus on what we want right now, you will sacrifice relationships and significance and purpose. And you will sacrifice no regrets. You sacrifice all those the minute you focus on the now. Jesus says, if you do that, if you sacrifice the future for the now, you're going to lose it all. That's what he says. You'll end up losing it all. So he responds, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must take up your cross. That's the word for sacrifice. And you must follow me. Because if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. You will lose it all. But if you give up, if you sacrifice now for what you really want in the future, if you do that, you will save it. You will save what you really want and what matters to you. Jesus is saying there's no shortcuts to the important things that we desire the most. No matter how badly you want to find another way, there isn't one. There is only one way for you to find the life you want. Let me just say that really clearly. Take this away. There is only one way to find the life that you most desperately, deep down want. There is only one way to save those things that you know are important and need saving. And it is one word. It is sacrifice. It's the only way it works. Jesus says, follow me. I'll show you what it takes to save what needs saving. To bring life that's worth having. And what did he do? He went to a cross. Now, if God has to work like that, if God has no other way of operating other than that, if that's the only way he knows to do it, that is the only way it works. God didn't find another way, and you won't. Sacrifice scares us to death because it involves two things that we're most scared of. We're scared of death. When you sacrifice, you're going to let something die, for a while at least, in your life. And we're scared of public humiliation. Whenever you sacrifice, you always take the lower position. You always become second, not first. When you sacrifice, you put others first and you put yourself second. And we don't like to be humiliated. We don't like to be second or lower ourselves. That's why sacrifice scares the pants off us, because it's about death and it's about humiliation. Two things we avoid like the plague, but they are part of it. To put yourself second and to let something die. Jesus faced both on the cross. Death and humiliation. He faced that on the cross. How? How does a human being do that? I think it's because he was thinking not short term but long term. He could see what lay on the other side of death and humiliation. You remember the Bible says, who for the glory set before him endured the cross. He could see the other side of sacrifice. He could see the other side. He could see victory, and he could see hope, and he could see salvation, and he could see 2 billion people currently on the planet professing faith and trust in God. He could see a restoration between his Father and a lost creation. He could see all that. And he was willing to sacrifice now to make that happen, to save something. He was able to do it because he believed there is always life on the other side of sacrifice. Do you believe that? If I ask you to sacrifice, do you believe that if you do it, you will find life on the other side? Jesus did, and he was right. Do you believe it? Are you willing to believe there is life on the other side of sacrifice? Jesus knew this. Sacrifice always brings life. You want to save something, you're going to have to sacrifice. You want to bring life to somebody or something, it's going to take that. But there is always life on the other side of sacrifice. Always. I think that's a pretty accurate formula for the Christian life. It's an uncomfortable one, but it's true. And if I want to bring life to anybody or anything, if I want to save anyone or anything, I am going to have to do it how Jesus did it. I'm going to have to do it how God does it. I'm going to have to give something up. It's going to cost me something now. But if I can look beyond that sacrifice, I can see life. And I want that more than what I want now. You don't have to be a Christian to know this is true. Everybody in our village knows that phrase is true because somebody's done that for them. Somebody's done that for you. When was the last time somebody did something heroic for you? You know what they did? They would have sacrificed. And you look at them differently. And it's changed your, it brought life to you. Because they were willing to pay a cost to themselves to bring life to you. It's true. It happens all the time. And you've experienced it. So Jesus says, now follow me. Take up your cross. This is the only way. There's a wide way that has, there must be another way written above it. But there's a narrow way. And only a few ever find it, says Jesus. But sacrifice leads to life. Here's the question to help you apply this. What do you want to save? Right now. Something in your life. What do you want to save? It needs saving. There's something wrong in my... There's something going on in my... I need to save that. There's something that is in danger. Because if I carry on like this, that's going to fall over. That's going to go... It's not going to end back well. What needs saving? Is it a relationship? Is it something you're doing? Is it a behavior? Is it something that's going to damage you? What needs saving in your life? What is important in your life that is at the moment wobbling a bit and you think, I don't want to lose that? What do you need to save? What needs saving? Here's the next question. What will you sacrifice to save it? Because it is the only way you'll do it. What will you sacrifice to save it? Beginning of the message, I ask you a question. What was the last heroic thing you did? You know what? If we take this stuff seriously, by the end of next week, you'll have an answer to that. Because whenever you sacrifice anything this week for anybody else, that's heroic. Only a few do it. Only a few find it. Only a few can see beyond sacrifice to the life it brings. But the people who do, they don't have a story from 50 years ago. They have a story from yesterday. And from the week before. And from the week before that. What was the last heroic thing you did? You can answer that question now. You could have an answer for that before the end of today. What are you willing to sacrifice in order to save something else? Okay, we're going to close. And we're going to close with a song, and we're going to remind ourselves that if God has to operate this way, then I do. And this song is all about how God saved us and what it cost him. That there was no other way than sacrifice. That's what it costs to save things. but it also tells you how it moves us when we see it, how we love it, how we think sacrifice is fantastic and powerful and beautiful. And it's a lovely song that reminds us of that too. Question is, will I be the one to do it? Or will I just hope everybody else will sacrifice to bring life? Let's sing, shall we?